both did what we had to. So you can't blame me, you can't hate me. Just remember that you made me. You don't get to just move on like we were never on the same side.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. I just want you to know no one has eaten the burger donut, but it's still here and it looks really good. It still looks like very presentable. Have you seen the look of this, Miriam? This is a donut made by Bitchin' Donuts on Lark Street, and our panelist Mark Whitman brought it in. But it's.
It's delicious.
It right? But it's a donut, and I can't. It's the artistic artisanship. What was the word I'm looking for?
Artistry.
Thank you very much. Of it, the culinary artistry is amazing.
Remarkable.
Yes. Adirondack Theater Festival's 30th anniversary season is underway. That officially makes me old. I remember their first one. Multiple Broadway and TV veterans joining the talent for an incredible showcase of new work and talent. The season kicked off with the world premiere musical Todd versus the Titanic, which ended its run just on Tuesday, I believe, right before the holiday. Or Wednesday? Tuesday.
Wednesday,
mm-hmm. Right before the holiday. Next, audiences can catch Worth, an intimate exhibition. That is already sold out, but we'll talk about it a little bit and get you, maybe if you want to put your name on a waiting list, there's still a chance. The King's Wife. Then is coming up July 19th through the 22nd, an opportunity to see that, a concert presentation of this new pop musical. And there's also a new adaptation of Dial M for Murder, which runs August 1st through the 7th. Miriam Weisfeld is the Adirondack Theater Festival's producing artistic director. Hello, Miriam. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. It's really good to see you. Congratulations on a great start to the season. You started with Todd versus the Titanic. This is a show that came, did very well, and now is moving on.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a great example of the way that the Adirondack Theater Festival sort of punches above our weight in terms of the national impact that this little festival has. So, you know, we are a research and development lab for the American Theater. All we do is new plays and musicals, and we love to see the shows that start in Glens Falls go on to have a national life. Todd versus the Titanic is a great example of that. It was created by a couple guys named Joe Kanojian and Kellen Blair, along with their book writer Scott Rothman. And these guys created the show Murder for Two, which started at ATF several years ago and went on to play off-Broadway and all over the country. In fact, it just played in Shanghai. So it's had a tremendous impact. When these guys started a new piece, they called me and they said, we want to start this at Adirondack Theater Festival because we had such a great experience with those Glens Falls audiences before. So we have just premiered their new musical, Todd versus the Titanic, which was a huge audience favorite. And we are now packing up the show to send it to the Hangar Theater in Ithaca. So if you're headed to Central New York, you have another chance to catch it out in Ithaca. This is just the first in what I'm sure will be a long life for this fantastic new musical.
All roads lead to Ithaca. That's great. Todd versus the Titanic. So The King's Wife is for the next weekend, that's very exciting. It's called Worth, and it's July 12th through the 14th. And this is an amazing production. It's already sold out.
Yeah, we do have a waiting list. This is another great example of the way that we are launching really interesting new work that's likely to have a life across the country. So Worth is a new play that's written and performed by an actor named Jessica Frances Dukes. And if you're a Netflix viewer, you might recognize her from the show Ozark. She played Agent Maya Miller on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she also just wrapped a brand new show that's going to be on MGM Plus called Earth Abides, which, of course, is based on the famous sci-fi novel. She has worked with us to create a new play about her relationship to the audience, that special relationship between performer and audience, and how it shifts when you start out as an actor in gritty storefront theater and you end up on a streaming platform that's playing to millions and millions of audience members all over the country. And suddenly you notice that the value of your work as an artist has just increased exponentially. So it's a reflection of what making that work costs us as artists and how it's valued in a really strange and sort of arbitrary way. So that's a fascinating, intimate little look at a new work in development that's going to be playing July 12th to 14th. And then right after that, we are sharing a concert presentation of a brand new musical. And it's, you know, it's been really interesting. When I arrived at ATF a couple seasons ago, I wanted to try a new slot in our subscription season that was really devoted to sharing a brand new musical with audiences for the very first time. And this model has had a tremendous track record so far. Last season, when we did a concert presentation of Pump Up the Volume, a new musical based on the Christian Slater film, it right after ATF, it had a Broadway industry presentation with Andrew Barth Feldman, who, of course, played Evan Hansen on Broadway and also starred opposite Jennifer Lawrence in the movie No Hard Feelings. So that show is off and running on its way. And in the season before that, we did a concert presentation of the new musical Mystic Pizza, based on the Julia Roberts film. And that show just announced a national tour. So again, you know, these concert presentations are really electric opportunities for audiences in Glens Falls to experience a new show before it goes on to a national life. And the writers are there in the room with you. We are discovering these new musicals together. And the same thing is going to happen with The King's Wife. This is a musical about the first wives of Henry VIII. So remember, that's Catherine of Aragon. And do you remember the next one?
Well, no.
Anne Boleyn.
Yeah.
And this musical imagines a secret history between the two of them. We know that they were rivals, right? In a way, they were also co-conspirators, laying the groundwork for the first female ruler of England, who, of course, was Queen Elizabeth I, Anne Boleyn's daughter. This is such a rich, fascinating story that's been created by the Welsh playwright Melissa Annis, and it's set to this incredibly contemporary pop score that was written by a Grammy-nominated Nashville songwriter named Jamie Floyd.
Yeah. So there was the musical Six, and this looks at two of the six.
Exactly. And it's such an interesting dialogue between those two musicals. Six, of course, was a smash hit on Broadway, a very sort of sassy song cycle in which the wives of Henry VIII sort of get their say. This musical, The King's Wife, is a much richer, deeper, darker look at the relationship between those two women, love, loss, friendship between women. And it's really interesting how the casting has created some more opportunities for dialogue between these shows. Anne Boleyn in The King's Wife is actually going to be played by Carrie Renee Fuller, who played Jane Seymour in Broadway's Six. She came into audition for The King's Wife because she was so fascinated by this completely new look at the story that she had been living with on Broadway for so long. So it's going to be so amazing to hear these Broadway voices tackle these characters in a completely new way.
That's fascinating. Well, what do you think it is about this idea of a concert presentation and even with Six of that being something the theater audiences are gravitating toward of what it is about that particular style that is hitting a chord?
I think it's the newness of it, the novelty of it. You know, our audiences are partners in artistic innovation. We are creating new work with them. I always say we don't really know what we've made until the audience gives it back to us, right? Because the audience is such a crucial element of the equation that makes theater. Right. So again, if you're sitting in that audience, you're going to see a very stripped down version of the show where the actors have maybe had a week or two to rehearse the material. They're standing there at music stands with their books. There have been changes being made just in the last few days. everybody's sort of on the edge of their seats, not just the audience, but the artists, right? You've got the writers and the directors in the room with you. We are all waiting with bated breath to see what happens when that material meets the audience for the very first time. It is electric. And in the case of Pump Up the Volume and Mystic Pizza, we knew something was happening in that room. And I think that's going to happen again with The King's Wife.
It's so fascinating because, as you say, you have no idea what's going to happen. And yet, in all three cases, I guess, there is some built-in familiarity, right? That either you know the movie, perhaps you know, and in this case, you know history, that helps that along.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the hook for audiences. We know a little bit about these characters, these situations. We're invested in the story, but we've never heard it musicalized in this way before.
No. What do you think of the, because you're also looking, I'm going to ask a question and maybe this comes out coherently. We'll give it a shot to see how coherent I am at the end of it. It strikes me that as we look at theater in its totality right now, it obviously has changed very much since COVID and before then. Between Me Too and COVID and diversity, equity, and inclusion, it has changed a lot. It's changed on Broadway. It's changed in small theater companies. It's changed in big theater companies. And I think I'm correct in saying that the industry was really shook up by all this. And some have done very well and some haven't, companies and so forth. So it seems like you almost have to go into this as you're working on things in the future with, like, an idea of what the new model is, right?
Absolutely.
Of what the creative ideas that are not only going to sell tickets, but also are sustainable for theater companies, fair to the actors and the crew and to everybody else, that those are productions that can go on, that you can send off to Ithaca and know that things will be okay.
Absolutely. You're asking such an interesting question because I think this is probably true.
Hey, Mike, it came off coherent.
Well done. I think this is probably true of any industry that's experienced significant disruption. You know, we all have to sort of go back to the drawing board, throw out all of the assumptions that we had about the models as we had them pre-COVID, right?
Right.
And take into account the shifting economic reality of not just the shrinking of many audiences. You know, Broadway alone lost 2 million audience members since COVID, right? So everybody is living in a new audience dynamic. We're also living in a new dynamic in terms of the cost of producing. And I'll just use housing as an example. So at ATF, the cost of housing our artists rose 100% between 2019 and 2023.
Which is insane.
It's wild. And you know what? It's good and bad because it's an indication of the demand for short-term rentals in our market. And we love visitors, right? We love it when people want to come up to our region between Saratoga Springs and Lake George for the summer. Who wouldn't?
Sure.
And at the same time, it means that we've got tremendous new costs to cover to bring the artists up from New York City and Chicago and Philly and D.C. all over the place, right, who come and populate our stages in order to entertain those visitors and the locals who always come to our shows. So absolutely, we've got to figure out how to grapple with the new reality and the new variables here and also double down on our mission. Right. Figure out how we can focus the resources that we have in this new dynamic and do what we can to continue to educate, challenge, and nourish and entertain audiences in our region. And that's why we've done things like put our resources towards commissioning new work so that we are focused more than ever on hiring writers and composers and lyricists and directors to create new work that's going to go on and help shape the national conversation.
And also by commissioning new work, if it hits, then you have a credit on that, which is something that can benefit the theater long term as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every time a show goes on to major national success, that shines a little bit of light back on ATF.
That's fantastic, and that's been part of the history of ATF throughout its 3 decades. So, final show of the season is Dial M for Murder, and this is a new adaptation, an edgy new adaptation, I believe. Tell us about that.
So, if you remember the Hitchcock film Dial M for Murder, this is this delicious thriller that starred Grace Kelly in the leading role as this woman named Margot, who lives this kind of posh London life that's upset by an affair that she has with this American guy who's, I think, a tennis star. Her husband finds out, and instead of confronting her, he hires someone to murder her. Now, it's a really fun film, but if you look at that film today, you realize the Grace Kelly character is sort of a doormat. She doesn't have a lot of agency or intelligence. She just sort of stands there, and all of the men around her, you know, are pulling the strings and deciding her fate.
Right.
The really cool and sort of revolutionary thing that the playwright Jeffrey Hatcher has done in this new adaptation is he has put women at the center of this story. So Margot now has an affair with an American woman who happens to be a mystery writer. And so, of course, when her American lover, now called Maxine, realizes what's going on, she's got such a fascinating take as she tries to unravel the real-life murder plot and save Margot's life.
That's really interesting, yeah. So this is, but again, this goes back to what we were saying. There's a kernel there of recognition of what we know of the story, and then this is brought to a whole different level.
Yeah. Again, it's a great way for ATF to serve our mission, to challenge our audiences, right, and introduce new perspectives that might not otherwise be seen for audiences like Glens Falls audiences. And at the same time, it's still this just deliciously fun mid-20th century thriller that's got all of the hallmarks of that wonderful film, like the gorgeous costumes and the edge of your seat suspense. And at the same time, you know, we're navigating all of the ingredients of a theatrical thriller. So the special effects and the stage combat and the blood work, you know, I mean, all of those really, really fun elements that only happen in the theater when you put on something like a thriller.
And so when you dial M for murder, you use a cell phone now, right?
Absolutely not. We've got a rotary phone on stage.
Well, some things you just can't modernize, can you? I'm fascinated by the season. It's wonderful. And I assume that as you work on this, you have your eyes to the next season and even to the fall, correct?
Always. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, the ability to commission work and plan it multiple seasons ahead is really a game changer for us. And this is all thanks to our 30th anniversary campaign, which is called Stories Start Here. This is $500,000 campaign to reinvest in new art and new audiences. We are already 70% of the way there.
Oh,
so I got to say thank you. A huge, huge thank you to our supporters and business partners. It's been extraordinary.
Well, and this is an idea, back to your founding, with Martha Banta and David Turner, who I remember when they came to town, and I sat down in a meeting with them, and they said, "We're going to do this," and I said, "Oh, okay, good luck with that," and there they did it, and that's just a beautiful thing, because the community, watching the community accept that company, and not only accept that company, but then start to trust them with new work, and they were bringing in things that were just really cool. And you were like, "Oh, well, this is going to go over." And audiences just accepted it because they trusted this company so much. And you've been able to keep that going.
You know, Joe, and that's the beautiful thing about looking around and looking at the legacy of the last 30 years. There's a whole generation that's been growing up in Glens Falls on a steady diet of new work. You can see the impact that introduction every summer of new voices and perspectives has done to, again, nourish and enrich this community and all of the visitors who come to see us, too.
And you have a beautiful theater. You have a beautiful theater right on Glen Street in Glens Falls, a former Woolworths. And it's just a great place to see a show, very adaptable, and you've always made incredible use out of it.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really lucky to partner with the Charles R. Wood Theater, which, as you said, is a converted Woolworths Five and Dime. It's a really darling little venue to visit. So if you have a day to make a day visit to Glens Falls, there's fabulous things to do downtown, or stay the night.
Absolutely. Well, Let's just go over the season here real quick. Coming up next is Worth, an intimate exhibition. This is sold out. However, you can get on the waiting list, which will get longer after this segment, I'm sure, but that's okay. And The King's Wife, then, is coming up next. Tickets are available for that July 19th through the 22nd. And then Dial M for Murder runs August 1st through the 7th. All of this at the Adirondack Theater Festival and the Charles R. Wood Theater in Glens Falls, New York. Miriam Weisfeld is the producing artistic director at ATF. What a pleasure. Thank you so much for the beautiful work you're doing. Thank you so much for bringing these incredible productions to our region and allowing audiences to see this incredible work and keeping your eye on the prize for the future. Much appreciated.
Thanks so much, Joe. Always great to be here.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.